few years ago, most of you were not here. And that's the nature of our ministry and our church. This time next year, it will be a different church, different faces and different people. And that's the blessing that God has given us. But every now and again, there are people that come through who can stay or also can have a lasting impact. Although they are not here most of the time, they are with us in spirit. And our good brother Daryl and his wife Kayo are one of those people. They have committed their lives and themselves to being missionaries to the good people in Cambodia. And our church supports a few missionaries and ministries, but it is rare that we have the chance to hear the commitment and the progress and just what's going on in those missionaries' lives and what's happening with the planning and with the executions of those plans. So it is our privilege today to be able to listen to Daryl and just to hear what God has laid on his heart. And I believe that it is a message for us today. And I trust that it is what God has prepared for us to feed on. So I want to pray that we would have open hearts, open minds to receive God's word through our dear brother Daryl. And Daryl, you good to go?
Good to go.
All right. Shall we welcome Daryl Record?
Hopefully, I guess you can hear me. So it's good to be here. And it's a kind of nice to be able to share for some time in English without having to pause for translation. It's great to be here. This is our home church in Hiroshima. Is that one thing about being a missionary is you have lots of homes. Everywhere you go, God blesses you with new friends and new mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. And so even though you leave everything, you don't leave anything. And you actually gain. But it is a blessing to be able to be here and to share with you all. And there's so many things that I want to share, and we look forward to being able to share throughout the time that we have together. I'm glad to have my wife is here, Kayo's here, and my mother-in-law is here. And so I'm sure that she'll want to talk to all the ladies here who are about to have babies, because she keeps mentioning grandchildren. So, but we know if we have children in Japan that our children will never have to take a picture of them, because grandma will take care of it. But we will have to show them the kids a picture of, this is grandma with the camera, this is grandma without the camera. It's with the camera, without the camera. It says Sony, and it flashes, but grandma has two eyes. So it's great to have here and have her hair and just to have family and so many friends here. Our personal ministry in Cambodia and wherever we go is called International Fishers. And I'll explain what that means. It sounds like a fishing club, like something you would find at Bass Pro Shop. And there's a reason for that. But there's definitely a reason why it's International Fishers, and is basically just to avoid confusion. This is kind of our support structure, where we come from. I'll mention a lot of different names. Our home, our sending agency in the U.S. is Mission to Unreached Peoples, and then. In Japan, we have a missionary support committee that will handle things from Japan. But partly because, so you get an idea what's going on, but also just to show you that missions is not just us. Any more than the Air Force is just the pilot. Or touching something is just your finger. is that God has placed us in the body of Christ, and in order to move us, just His finger, which if you just cut off your finger and lay it around, it can't do much of anything. But in order for the finger to move, a finger can do a lot of things. A hand can do even more. But in order for the fingers to move, it does take the power of the body. It takes all the parts of the body. It takes muscles, it takes bones, it takes ligaments. And that's the thing that's amazing, is that in order for us to go, is that God has raised up lots of muscles just to stand behind us so that we can reach the people of Cambodia for Christ. Because when we reach the people of Cambodia for Christ, we are reaching but those people who are the arms and the legs and the prayer warriors and all the people behind us, they are reaching the people of Cambodia for Christ. And ultimately, we are representing Christ. We are His hands, His feet, and His voice. And when people feel our love, directly and indirectly, they feel Christ's love. And that's what it is. It's, you know, I read a joke that said that on a military base, Air Force base, on the side of the fuel truck, it had written, "Without us, pilots are pedestrians." And so the guy who puts the air in the tires and checks the landing gear is just as important as the pilot. Okay. You can see a scene of fishing in Cambodia. And so Matthew 4:19 says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And so that's the fishers. That's the fishers part. In Matthew, in the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So the Great Commission is the international part, and the being fishers of men is the fishers part. And it does sound innocuous, and there's a reason for that. And then the way to fish is that we're to always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks us to give an account for the hope that is within us, but with gentleness and respect. We're not there to, you know, Peter was a fisherman, but being a fisher of men, Peter said, here's the manner of fishing, I believe, in this verse. We're to be ready to give a defense of the hope, the hope that we have of our salvation, of our Lord, of Christ. But we're supposed to do this with gentleness and respect. We're not here to win the argument if it costs us losing their soul. Gentleness and respect is that not only just to teach the truth, but to give the truth in love. Because if I give the truth, but we don't give the truth in love, we're not fully representing Christ. But if we love them, we must give them the truth. Just like a doctor who loves you, or a good doctor would need to give you the truth about your condition so that you can get the medicine that you need. But that is true love. Is sometimes true love means loving them enough to give them the bad news and still loving them even more to giving them the bad news in a gentle and respectful way so that they can receive the ultimate cure. And the ultimate cure for what they have, for they have a disease and it's called sin and it's going to kill them. It's terminal. But the cure that they have They need to know that they have a disease because no one will take a treatment. No one will take radiation just for the fun of it. But if you know that you have cancer, but the good news is that Christ died to give the people, not only of Cambodia, but of the world, a free cure. A cure without side effects. And a permanent cure. And that's what we want to do. Give you some background about Cambodia. Here's the flag. The population of Cambodia is about 13 million. It's probably landmass is about half to one third to a half the size of Japan. Life expectancy is 58 years old. And that's actually increased. In GDP per capita, which is like the total amount of money divided by the available people, is $1,500, which would be around 150,000 yen, compared to what it would be in the U.S., which would be 41,000. So basically, is the Cambodians are living on about 10%. For their work, they earn about 10% of what we would earn for the same amount of work. But some things cost even more there. Fuel costs more than Japan, and a lot of things cost. So the prices are high, but the wages are low. A full-time worker in a factory that makes like Gap, Old Navy, would make maybe $40 a month. But the minimum living expenses for Cambodians, we're not talking what it costs foreigners who get to pay higher prices, is about $80 a month. So minimum wage is about half of the cost of living. Literacy is about 70%. And there's 90% of the people are Cambodian or Khmer. In the map of Cambodia, you see Thailand, Laos, and Vietnam. We'll primarily be living in Phnom Penh, the capital. I'm sure you've probably somewhere, somehow seen Angkor Wat. And it's the number one tourist destination for Cambodia. It's their pride. It's on their flag. And on one hand, it's incredible because it's 1,000-year-old temples. And walking through, you feel like you're Indiana Jones. But then on the other hand, it's sad because the people, the god that was worshipped in those temples, allowed the civilization to decline, where the temples actually were buried until 100 years ago. But even though that god that they were, the gods that they were worshiping in those temples were false gods and led them astray and ultimately led to the destruction of their society, because Cambodia was the number one superpower in Southeast Asia 1,000 years ago. But people are still holding on to those strongholds of the past that haven't helped them. Yes, they're beautiful buildings, but because they're still dedicated to false gods, they're still holding the people back from accepting the true and living God. Is Theravada Buddhism is about 83% Muslim, is about 4%. Christianity is about 1.2%. Others include Chinese ancestor worship and folk animistic religions. There's just so many, but I just want to give you the idea of what's going on there. In the 70s, there were the Khmer Rouge. During the Vietnam War, the Ho Chi Minh Trail cut through Cambodia, and as a result, they were bombed by the U.S. and had landmines from every side, and that's the reason why so many Cambodian farmers are still suffering. And when they try to farm with their water buffalo in the rice paddies, they may discover a bomb. And you see many, many people without legs. But from 75 to 79, the Khmer Rouge took control. The Khmer Rouge were led by a man who went by the kind of name Pol Pot. Pol Pot was a very intelligent student who went to France. And in France, he learned communism. He learned atheism. And when he returned to Cambodia, he applied that there is no God, the government is God. And if there is no God, you can kill anyone that you need to kill. So within a period of, here are the soldiers. Look how young they are. Maybe 13 or 14. But they were the ones that killed between 1.5 million and 3 million people in only 4 years out of a population of 7 million. In 78, the Vietnamese invaded, and that stopped the genocide. Without the Vietnamese, there wouldn't be any more Cambodians because they would have killed themselves by then. But then in 1991, they became independent, and right now they have political and religious freedom, but there's so much damage. Is the economy is developing. It's growing rapidly, like 12% a year. But as prosperity grows, as prosperity increases, so does sin and so do the problems. And unless the Cambodians are reached while they're still developing, they may become proud and hard and go even more into an even worse direction. So much corruption and political bribery, it just covers the entire country. But you see things on one street, you see Land Cruisers and Lexus and Mercedes, and the next person has an ox cart. Rich and poor. See a bus piled with people. I had the opportunity to teach English from 2000 to 2003 and be able to teach some of the future leaders. And it was incredible to be able to share a life with them and eventually share the gospel with them. And that's how I came up with, I think Fernando has the book in Japanese. That actually was written, the booklet that I think some of the people here have was written to be able to reach the Cambodians. The church. The church, because of the political upheaval, has been so damaged that it's going to take a long time for them to recover, because people became Christian and then they were put into leadership, but they don't have a lot of resources, they don't have a lot of training, they don't have any mentors, and so you can just, it's pretty obvious what happens. As a result, there's a lot of division along denominational lines and this Bible translation versus that Bible translation. And as a result, there's vulnerability to false teachers. The Cambodians, I'm wearing a tie, but there are people who come from the U.S. who also wear ties, but they preach that Jesus isn't God. I wear a white shirt, they wear a white shirt. But they teach that, I teach that we can go to heaven and we can be with God, but they teach that we can be gods. And this would be the Mormons. But it's very difficult for the Cambodians to be able to distinguish between me and between false teachers. Is that basically they are vulnerable to cults because of just the lack of training, lack of resources, and also financial incentives, as I can't offer a full ride scholarship to a Christian university, but other false teachers can offer, and so that's a very big financial. And in 1995, there were 200 Mormons in Cambodia. In 2004, they'd increased to 6,000. And they're growing even more. This was a church that was built in 2003. This one is under construction and will be completed now, both in the capital city. Those buildings are nicer than the buildings that my home church has in the U.S. They've got money. They've got a lot of things going with them. But we can't out-nice them. We can't outspend them. But we can out-truth them. But basically, a little bit of truth can vaccinate the Cambodians so that when they're confronted with false teachers, they have the ability to defend their faith and know what they believe and why they believe. It's a little bit of prevention does a lot more good than waiting until they're already deceived and trying to get them out, because it's very hard. In the U.S., 70% of Mormon converts come from evangelical Christian churches. So until we can go and try to get the people out of the cults, but until we can stop people in our own pews from going in to the cults, we might get one out, but they're going to take 10 from us, and we're losing battle. So we want to stop that, and that's one of the things that we're called to do. So basically, our ministry is to equip Cambodian Christians to evangelize their loved ones, to work to unite the body of Christ around the truth of God's word, to vaccinate Cambodian Christians against cults, to reach the lost with the truth of the gospel, and to minister to Japanese expatriates. There are about 2,000 Japanese in Cambodia who are, and many of them don't know the Lord, and many of them are lonely and need people to care for them. There is a Japanese fellowship, but right now the missionaries who started it are out of the country. So we're willing to try to help as much as we can in whatever limited way we can help to encourage that. Is basically we will coordinate apologetics seminars and training. Basically, there are a lot of good pastors there, but they lack the time and the resources and the energy to be able to write the materials, to be able to train their people. But we can come to them and say, we're here to serve you. We don't want to make our own church, but we want your church to be more effective. We want to be a blessing of you, to you, and so that you can reach your people. And we'll also possibly have some opportunities to teach at some of the Bible schools in the capital. And I also have an opportunity to go back and teach again at the Royal University of Law and Economics, where we really have an opportunity not only to reach the future law and economics business leaders, but also to reach the teachers and administration, because that is the school where all the future leaders come through. The people who are in government now graduated from that school. The people who will be in government and who will be in the top part of the country's economic base came through that school. And either we train them to live their lives according to God's word, or they're going to do whatever seems right. And if that means to bribe, or that means to kill your enemies, or lie or cheat. And that's the way, one of the ways that we can impact the entire country. And then also minister with the Japanese fellowship. Is Cambodia borders Vietnam and Laos, and so by producing Christian materials like this booklet, CD-ROMs, DVDs, the technology is actually pretty incredible. Is through another ministry I came across this. It's an MP3 player, but it's solar powered, and it has the gospel message in 5 different languages. But, and that what reminded me of what Pastor Hiroshi was talking about, how that when Jesus comes back, that, but then how that the gospel, let me see. Here it is. Okay, in Matthew 24, Starting in verse 5. For many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and will mislead many. It's Matthew 24, starting in verse 5. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. And at that time, many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. Is that we are coming to the time when this can come true. Is that the gospel is available in a big percentage of the world. And while technology is bringing bad, God is also using the technology for good. I mean, Hudson Taylor probably would have given his pigtail for something like this. To be able to walk in to have something in your hand that has 80 minutes worth of gospel message in 5 different languages that's solar powered. I mean, this is amazing, you know, and with the internet and so many things. But often Christians, we reject the technology when we shouldn't. We need to reject the message of the world that comes through on the technology, but use the technology of the kingdom for God's purpose. This is what it's about. This is what it's really about. It's not about building our name. It's not about planting the flag for our home team. It's not about putting our name in lights or anybody remember us. It's about Christ. Lifting Christ up so that the world will believe in him. I want to share one more passage and then share my heart and then I'll turn it back. In John chapter 17, starting in verse 20. This is the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's just part of it. But knowing that he was going to die, knowing that he was going to be beaten, knowing that he was going to be crucified, knowing that he was going to take on our sins, and looking forward to what was to come, this is part of what he prayed. And I think that this is, when people pray at this kind of crucial moment, they pray for things that really matter. If you knew that you were going to die and you had one prayer, I'm not sure that you would pray for fair weather and a nice sunny day. You might pray for things that are really important. And I'm thankful for the sunny day. John chapter 17, starting in verse 20. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. That's talking about us, who believe in Christ through the word of the apostles. That's us. He's praying for us. That they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as you are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me, and love them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me be in them, and I in them. Christ's prayer is not that we make a name for ourselves, is not that we stake out our territories or anything like that. Christ's prayer and his heart for us is that we as the body of Christ, the worldwide body of Christ, from every tongue, from every nation, from every tribe, that we may be united. We pray the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we also say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In heaven, we will be united. And I pray that as the body of Christ in these last days, that we will be united. I'm not talking about unity for unity's sake. If there is no truth, there can be no unity. Sometimes it's necessary to divide. But most of the things that have divided the church and the true body of Christ are the things that matter the least. But when we are united, the world believes that Jesus is the Christ. In Cambodia, and probably in Japan, there's one Buddhism. Maybe a few more, but especially in Cambodia, there's one. But there are 20 different Christianities. There's not really 20 different Christianities, but because the way that there's a lack of love and a lack of unity among the body, we're presenting a face of the body of Christ that is contrary to God's will. But I do look at the time when I love the verse, every tongue and every tribe and every nation will circle the throne. And what was broken in the Garden of Eden when sin first entered, the division between people, the division between people and nations, nature, that'll be healed. And this is how it happens. We don't have to claim it. But we can be part of it. We can be used of God to do it. Chris?
Thank you very much, Daryl. I want to just announce, before we dismiss, if you are interested in just receiving monthly newsletter? Bi-monthly. Every now and then newsletter that they put out. There are these response papers, response cards available. It's not a pledge or any promise that you'll give money or anything like that. It's just, hey, I want to keep up with this ministry and I want to keep praying for it. And so there's on the top half, there's a place for you if you read Japanese, and in the bottom half, same thing in English. But if you don't have one, just come on up at the end of the service and take one if you're interested in keeping up with the ministry, praying with it and praying for it. And of course, if you are interested in helping to support it financially, of course, by all means, let us know. Also, it's always good to have a name with a face. And so there are picture cards available. You could put them up on your fridge or in your Bible, anywhere you want. But there's a stack of these available as well. So I believe God's vision for his church and his people is expressed also in the book of Isaiah, where it says that my house will be a house of prayer for the nations. And that's my hope and vision and prayer for this church, this body of believers here in Hiroshima, as we support through prayer and through money our brother and sister in Cambodia. Thank you very much, Daryl. And shall we all rise as we get ready to go and pray? Matthew, could you come on up and prepare us for our last song? Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, with our eyes just a little bit more opened, our hearts a little bit more soft, Lord, to the work not only that you're doing in our lives, but the work that you are doing in the lives of our brothers and sisters across the sea in Cambodia. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the strength, the vision, and the purpose that you give to our dear brother Daryl and his wife Kyle. Lord, as they would go, and even now, as they prepare to go, that you would provide all that they need to go there in all the strength that you have for them. And then, Lord, thank you so much for your word that grabs us and teaches us and informs us today. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.